listening to What We Do in Elysium, your source for news, strategy, and discussion for Vampire the Masquerade Rivals card game.
Hello, hello! We have returned from our journey to Gen Con, to the Continental Conclave.
Yes, we have. Some of us attending as guests, some of us attending as the
hosts,
hired help.
The hired help, sure.
But yes, we have ventured there and we have returned.
Yeah, it was fun. Even, you know, as you mentioned, even being a judge and not actually playing, I still had a blast. It was really fun. I, in retrospect, I think one of my favorite parts about it is pretty much everyone that was there is people that we've talked to online. Mm-hmm. So it's like finally meeting people, and it's like you already feel like you know them, and it's there was a nice feel of familiarity everywhere.
Yeah, and I had a little bit of that. I do, my big regret, I don't feel like I really hung out and sort of talked to and introduced myself to a lot of people in person, which I still kind of feel bad about. It was, I don't know, a combination of things. I mean, for one thing, it's Gen Con, right? Like,
so much to do.
So much to do, right? And I was, you know, with a whole group of other people, you know, but I mean, everybody I did meet was super friendly. I loved meeting to them, talking to them, you know, got to meet a few people that I talked to online. So that was pretty nice. So yeah, it was a good time. And then of course, Gen Con, you know, this was the first one back to the old school. You know, we were both there last year, but last year was a little weird. It was nice. It was nice being
back to full power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice being back for sure. It's still a little odd. You know, they had with the mask mandate, which was like nice. I mean, obviously I support it, but like it does make demos specifically a little bit weird. You know, so I didn't feel like I demoed that many games, but it was a good time. It was good to be back. Good to hang out with everybody, you know, have fun, play games. We played several games together, you know, later on in the evening. So it was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah. I probably played more board games with people like in those 3 days than I did almost the entire year previous. So like that's always fun.
Yes.
You know, 3 a.m. in the hotel lobby wrapping up a game.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, fun stuff. And of course it all culminated into our new Justicar.
Yes.
So he can yell at me about this later. If I mangle this, Danny Trujillo.
I believe that's correct.
Sure. So yeah, congrats to him.
Yes.
We're hopefully going to have him on next time or very soon.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully so. Yeah. So congrats to him. I know. I don't think that he's played. I know he played last Gen Con. I don't know how much he's played since then, but I know he was kind of around, you know, in the lead up. I saw him on the servers kind of getting back into it. So. Yeah, congrats to him.
Keeping the trend of late night, night before deck creations winning the event alive.
Yes. So yeah, we'll definitely dive in a little bit more about the decks and everything here in just a minute. But yeah, congrats to him, obviously, and really to, you know, to everybody, obviously, you know, everybody who showed up, everybody who made top 16, top 4, the folks in the 1v1. And the team tournaments, you know, those seemed like a lot of fun. I didn't end up making, I wanted to play in the team tournament. And then it was kind of like, you know, Sunday morning having to pack up and having been in the lobby, like you said, until 3 a.m. the night before, didn't quite happen, which I think ended up working out. Cause I think there were 6 teams exactly. So
yes.
You know, that seemed cool, like a fun event. It seemed like an overall a pretty successful weekend for Rivals. So that was good to see.
Yeah, and I think for Rivals in general, there were a ton of people that were just walking up saying, hey, you know, can I get a demo and stuff like that? So, you know, not speaking for Renegade or anything like that, but I have to imagine they're pretty happy seeing that, especially for a game that, you know, it's been out for a little bit. But, you know, like we said, Gen Con, it's like the first year that it's kind of been you know, back to full capacity. So it might be some people's first exposure to it. But seeing people that, you know, they were very interested in checking it out. So, you know, it's looking good for the future of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Which is always good to hear, you know.
So, first, we're not going to do a deep dive into, like, the top match itself, the final, that is. It is on our YouTube already, so you can go check that out.
Yes.
But let's go through some of your matches. Yeah. I poked in and out on some of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I played Rituals, Rites of the Blood, Annika, you know, Oblivion Rituals. I'm sure I'll post the deck. I don't think I've actually officially published it.
For the record, the only Rites of the Blood player.
Hey, yeah. But not the only Oblivion Rituals, as we'll get to. But yes, so I like the deck. I think it's good. My first match after a first round repair, which was kind of unfortunate, I ended up at the very bottom at the table of three. Which was fun. It was nice. A couple guys from Iowa. It was a fun, you know, fun, fairly relaxed game. I saw everything in the right order. I also was playing against a scheme deck, which was interesting because I hadn't played against that in a long time. I ended up winning that game I had all the stuff in the right order. It just was sort of perfect. And so then I played, I think it was the second game. Yeah, the second game was quite a good table. It was myself, Mr. Fuji, all the way in from Australia. Our last year's champion,
Josh.
Josh, yeah, Letix. And then Cryhard from California. A pretty good table, obviously. And it was a pretty good game until I just sort of punted it and did not bring my character out from with using my second life ritual. And so I only had two characters on the board and Bella with alchemy can. And to give her fortitude can just smack you for like 8 damage. and I didn't have the right race. So I got eliminated in that game, which really hurt.
Was that a prowess into her ability?
Yes, it was prowess into her ability. Yep. And I mean, you know, you could argue that like everything was set up correctly because like I had one Wraith on her, but it wasn't the shield. It wasn't the physical. But like, frankly, if I just bring Zahara out, I don't get eliminated. I mean, I don't know that I win the game or anything, but I don't get eliminated because and we can, you know, I think this is something to maybe shelve for a later date. The one thing I've noticed, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, is it like if you get eliminated, you have to win 2 tables, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like feels punishing in 4 rounds. But I don't know. You know, like I said, we don't necessarily have to dive too deep into that right now. But because I feel like that's what would be good to do math and, you know, think about a little bit more. But that was super punishing because it was like I have to win another table to have a chance.
Right.
Which didn't feel good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That can be a bad feeling, especially after coming off of a win.
Right. Yeah. So the third table, I think that was where I was playing with.
This was where you had the really good draw.
No, that was the fourth table.
Oh, okay.
The third table was fine. It still wasn't great, but it was okay. The third table is the one where I was scrabbling along and there was a Marcus prize fighter deck coming after me and I put a fourth tradition on him and then his rival defeated Marcus and so that made me feel like so that was I was like okay I'm probably safe now like I'm not gonna get eliminated and that was one that was also a good game it ended up going to time I had a shot at winning. But I was playing against the, I know, I think Satyr Jester was one of the other guys on the table. And then of course the Marcus Price Fighter. Then the other one was an animals deck. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the name, but, and so he was kind of out ahead and he had Prince. It was like the lone wolf thing. Right. And he had Prince. So it went to time and it was basically like I think the way that it shook out was like, if he hadn't had backup, I think I could have won, or I either could have won or I could have tied, because I could have basically killed his Prince and gotten Prince and then done something else. But then he had two of them in hand. So, you know, I needed him to not have any, and he had two. and even then, like I said, I don't remember off the top of my head if it was like I would have won the game or if it was like I would have just gotten a lot more agenda and then come in second or something. I don't think it was a clear win anyway, but you know, it was a good, anyway, point being, right, it was a really good game. We went back and forth. It sort of, the balance shifted several times. and then the fourth game was, so, okay, you know, fourth game, I'm like, I know I need to win this, to get in. And it was myself, Coyote was at that table, and he was playing a Horde the Herd with it, another Mortuary with Jesus as the leader. And I don't remember the other two decks off the top of my head. I know they were somewhat more aggressive, but you know, anyway, it's like, I know I have to win an in, and my opening hand is, two Necromancy and two, Robbing the Graves. And then my third, so I discard a Necromancy for the Sad or Mending or whatever it was I did. And then my next two cards are the third copies of both of those events. And it was just like such a gut punch.
To which what did Ira say? Like, that's not a good
time.
I
was like, that's not a good time. Yeah. I think you saw the opening hand and I was like, look at this. And then Hyra's there and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, it's like every time someone walked by, you're like, look at this. Look at this.
It was so bad. Because, like, those are two cards that I don't really want to see early. And then having double copies and then seeing my third copies, it was just awful. And, I mean, I felt like that was sort of a theme on the day. Like, I never felt like my deck, again, outside that first game, everything came together and was just like, boom. But the next games, I always felt like I was kind of scrabbling, which is sort of the way the deck works, to be honest. You know, trying to get the rituals out, like I really just want to see one ritual a turn. Mm-hmm. But and I managed to scrabble back into that game, but going into time, I was not a factor. I as I learned as we talked about it after the game, my first play was marshalling Roman, which really hurt Coyote because that's a guy he relies on. And so I think neither one of us was really going to be a factor at the end, because there was just a ton of mortals in the streets, and you know, I had some ritual stuff, but not enough to really make a huge difference. We were just too behind on points. And I don't remember exactly how the game ended, but I mean, it was, you know, I needed to basically win, without going to time. And that was just not ever going to happen. So I was pretty much out at that point. And, sure enough, I was. Mm-hmm. So that was my day. It was definitely a bit frustrating, because after, you know, punting one game and just feeling dumb, and then my deck just not clicking. It's definitely kind of a frustrating day, but that happens sometimes, you know.
Yep, card games do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, only four rounds. I mean, which is the right number but like, because it's multiplayer, right? Only four rounds means, you know, I had one game where my deck really came together perfectly. I had one game where it really crapped out on me, but that's like a quarter of my games, you know, that my deck just completely drew like crap. So it always feels a little bit worse. Yeah. But you know, I mean, overall the deck did like it, like I expected it to do. I liked the deck. you know, I brought it because I enjoyed the deck, not necessarily because I think it was the best deck. But I liked it and I enjoyed it, and I was happy I didn't see any of their Anikas, because there were a couple, as I found out.
Yes. Yeah. But I heard some people talk about it. They're like, oh, you know, someone's got the Rites of Blood deck. And I was like, I know who that is. And yeah, it's interesting. I don't think a lot of people would have expected it. Even though, you know, it's not been like a particular secret we've been talking about and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like a fun, when all the pieces go together, it really sings. Right. But if they come in the wrong order.
Yeah. And
was,
I think.
Which was the theme of my Arkham game that we had that night.
Yes, yes, yes. And I also think that the other thing about it is like it really comes on late. You know, like it's a deck that I've learned like really, because like you start off kind of slow, but then you get, you know, 2 points plus another one for Bianca being in Torpor, you know, like it really kind of accelerates. But I think in the tournament setting, well, for a few different reasons, I think that it didn't quite shine, you know, time limits being one of them. Because understandably, you know, games go longer, they go closer to time. So, you know, I don't know. It was fine. Like I said, mostly it's on me for making that play mistake. And that'll be just another one of those that sticks with me forever. And it's fine. It's fine. It's just a part of card games. But we had some other folks that did well and actually made the top 16. And so let's talk about their stuff. Well, I guess we can talk about overall what we saw first.
Yeah, so we do have some numbers on the Havens and Agendas, and they tell different tales, depending on what kind of card type you're looking at.
Yes.
So, for the Agendas, the number one played was Animal Kingdom with 5. Not much of a surprise there. Mm-hmm. The next two at 4 are Turf War and Invisible Army. Then a bunch of 3s. We got Base of Power, Hunt the Hunters, Horde, Prize Fighter, 3 Shelves. So about what we expected to see from Shelves.
Yeah.
One of which made the final table.
Yes, indeed.
Let's see. For the 2s, we got Strength in Numbers, Manipulate the Masses, Street Brew, and Death is Only the Beginning. Mm-hmm. One of those deaths also made the final table.
Indeed.
And then the singles, solos, End is Nigh, Playthings, Knowledge is Power, Your Rites of Blood, and Wake the Dead.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting to me. I mean, I think that mostly lines up with kind of what we predicted. I mean, Animal Kingdom, I tabbed as being what I thought the best deck. It was the most common and showed up at the final table. You know, Turf War and Army, we've seen those decks perform, like, and there's several different variations, particularly of Turf War. Mm-hmm. Base of Power is a little bit interesting. I wonder, because I know at least one of those was Borek, and I wonder how many more were. But
yeah,
you know, that is kind of interesting.
I can't really think of seeing the others other than AJ's, but
right. Now that I think about it. Yeah. But like with, you know, with the Prague Prince, it makes, you know, that's a 4 point. That's a 4 pointer for Base of Power, so it does kind of make some sense. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I'm surprised necessarily to see 3 Horde, but I do think it's interesting that 3 people still play Horde. It was still one of the more common agendas even after the nerf, you know, but with 3 out of about 50 people.
Yeah.
That's obviously not super common. So, you know, really, I mean, I think that's the big takeaway, right? Is like there was a nice big spread of agendas.
It's a very good spread. Like if any of these people, you know, they decide last minute, I want to play something else, like the numbers shift slightly. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you know, another drop in a big bucket. Mm-hmm. Looking at Havens, however, there is quite a different story.
Yes.
University Library with 9, Dragon's Roost at 8, and then we drop down to 3.
Yes.
so there's quite a disparity there. I think it's fairly self-explanatory. Drawing cards is good, and blocking everything is good.
Yep.
Going down the line, threes, got Big House, Tenderloin, Eternal Life Mortuary. The twos are Cemetery, City Park, Royal Retreat, and Madhouse. And all the ones is filled out with Sewers, Pit, Thrift Store, Artist Lofts, Old Post Office, Old Rail Station, and the Guard Tower. I do not remember seeing the last two at all, honestly.
yeah, I don't remember seeing a rail station. I know we saw the Guard Tower in the team tournament. You know, yes. we talked about that too, right? Like, I like Guard Tower a lot. I'm just not sure that people have had enough time to really play around with it. I was a little bit surprised to only see two Mission Cemeteries with the Wraiths. I thought that would be a little bit stronger, you know, a little bit more present. But I don't, of course, excuse me, I also don't know if one of the mortuaries, well, was Michael playing mortuary? I don't remember.
I also don't remember, but I can look.
I guess, yeah. It was...
Yes, mortuary.
Okay, yeah. So there you go. Okay, so then, never mind. So then, because I was one mortuary, Coyote was one mortuary, so he was playing Horde, and then Michael was the other one. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I am a little bit surprised that there weren't that many Wraiths, only two. But, you know, again, not I wouldn't necessarily say shocked, just mildly surprised.
Yeah, it feels like it's continuing the trend that we saw in Milwaukee. That like I'm still continuing to be a little surprised that like just straight Wraith aggro with like Enzo and stuff like not around.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It's. I'm surprised as well. But you know, I mean, ultimately, like you said, the big takeaway is Library is at 9 and Roost is at 8. I don't know exactly how I feel about all that right now. I mean, Library probably needs something to bring it down. It's just like, I think the big thing was, you know, when talking with AJ, we were talking about his Borek deck and it's like, what do you start and what do you, you know, play early? And it's like, why wouldn't you just start Library? Like, it's so
right
obvious. And like, even if you only use it twice in a game, like, that's still value. You know, granted, that's a little bit of a weird deck, but like, I think that's part of why it shows up is because literally any deck can run it and get value out of it.
Yeah, and the math shakes out. Like, okay, you do it on three of the four turns, and as long as there's a mortal on the board, you have recouped your
also blood. True. Also
like,
true.
It's very easy to just say, okay, I heal up the three blood I just spent on drawing cards.
Yep. Yeah. And then Roost, I don't know. I also don't know how to feel about Roost because like I think it's interesting. I think it's an interesting haven. It's I don't know. There's I can see both sides of that one a little bit more. But I mean, clearly they're the two most played, so it'll be interesting to see if anything happens. Not necessarily advocating for anything right now, but just it'll be interesting to see what
comes out of it. Don't touch my Roost.
I know.
Yeah, I know. It's big because it has to be. Like, that kind of effect is good for, like, not necessarily keeping other decks in check, but just kind of, like, something you always have to be considerate of.
Right.
I know some people have suggested, like, get rid of the prestige or change the qualifications for, like, when you can block. Like only blocking for mortals or only blocking in the streets or there's been a lot of suggestions. So I honestly haven't thought about it too much. So yeah, I don't know. Library. I have no idea what to do with because that one is just
right.
So open-ended. Like, what do you right. do? Just put once per round. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean I don't know either. I mean, I think honestly, well, we can get into that, but I think that Library, if you can do it on your turn and then you can do it, like you have to exhaust it
once to give on it someone else's turn.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. I think that's probably fine. I mean, maybe that's kills it, but like,
oh, well, still two draws around.
Two draws is still, I think, so fine. Yeah. I mean, I don't, I honestly don't know that does enough, but, I don't know. That's not what this episode is about. Right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was like I said, yeah, great to see the good spread of agendas. And like, I do feel like I saw different, like I don't feel like I played against the same deck multiple times. I mean, I played against some similar decks a couple times, but they never felt like this is the same deck, you know?
Yeah. Net decking and, you know, right. stuff like that. Just like, yeah, I just played this deck.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Do you want to, while we're talking about decks, do you want to talk about the top table decks?
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, we can talk about the top four. So the top four are, a Hunt the Hunter's Roost deck, which I believe, despite listing Street Preacher, I think normally started Annika, right?
Also, one, not one of every clan, because that's obviously not possible, but every character was a different clan, yes. which was pretty interesting.
Yes. If you ever have a question of what a good stuff deck is, just go look at that list. This is yep. not a slight, but it's literally good stuff. Like, that's what it is. There was a Disheveled Shelves, which was interesting. I didn't get to see, I need to go back and watch. I didn't get to really see the Shelves deck play at all. So I don't really have a lot of insight into it, but I think it's quite interesting that he made the final table. We have an Animal Kingdom that ran Library, pretty standard Temaska Animal Kingdom deck. And then we have, out of Milwaukee, the Death is Only the Beginning, the other Oblivion Ritual deck that also started Annika. So obviously, you know, between the fact that he was he's a Milwaukee guy and running Oblivion, and I was obviously pulling for him. I don't things just did not really go his way in the final. So again, cool to see, and I think that he also sort of surprised some people with that deck. You know, there wasn't, because again, it's not what they're expecting. Again, he was playing it as Death is Only the Beginning, so slightly different than the Rites of the Blood, but you know, it's a lot of the same play patterns, a lot of the same things you can do to surprise people. So that was cool.
Yeah, I saw a pretty I think it was top 16. Time had been called, and he was player 4. And there was a really sick play where he I think he was at 9 agenda, got Kristen into torpor, and I think maybe got a citizen, and then Kristen's the torpor for agenda, right? With a
Bianca.
How many rituals do you have? Bianca. Okay. And then like got exactly to 13 to get yep. to the final. That was pretty sick.
Yep, it's pretty fun when you can pull stuff like that off. So, congrats to all four of our finalists. You know, like I said, I mean, the Animal Kingdom we'll probably talk the least about, because I think mostly because we expected it to be there. So, you know, animals are good. Like,
Did everything we expected it to do.
Yep.
There's not a ton to talk about there that we haven't already seen.
Right. So do you want to talk about Shelves? Because I think you probably saw a lot more of the Shelves deck than I got to.
Yeah, I saw it here and there. I didn't like sit and watch most of it, but it is close to about what we expected it to do. One thing I was not expecting it to have, there's some property developers in here, and I don't know if I actually saw it in use on what they were pulling for.
Mm-hmm.
But it did function the way, like, 99% of the game time of each game, Shelves was face down, and you just bomb people out. You get the prosperities ready, you get the bank of favors ready, shakedowns, all that stuff. I mean, even the final game, Brad was only, I think, two cards off or one action off, depending on which person he wanted to go after, because there's spy games in the deck. So you just, you know, you gather power for that spirit bomb and then just throw it at someone when it's ready.
Yeah, I think it is worth mentioning this was playing Borek, which is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not playing any of the conspiracy, or at least leading any of the conspiracy people. I don't know that it's even playing. Oh, it is playing Govna. Okay, and Thora.
So, there's Govna, yeah, there's Thora.
It is running them, but it's not leading them. It's leading Borek.
Yes,
Which is pretty interesting. So, do you remember what he was starting, like, with Borek? Because, I mean, it's running... Library is the main haven, but...
No, I can go back and look, but not at the moment. Preparedness.
Yeah, right.
No, I cannot remember.
So it was kind of an interesting thing on shelves, but so yeah, he made the final table. I think won two games in Swiss.
That sounds right. I know it won at least one. I think he had at least 6 points by the end. So, but yeah, I don't know if that's how shelves was designed to be played.
Right.
It seems like it's just a powder keg waiting for, you know, more cards to just slot in to just bomb harder.
Yep.
It definitely, like, just from the design of, like, what's the Malkavian who discards cards based on how many are in your hand?
I didn't
see any of
Perseus.
Him
Perseus.
At all. Perseus. Yeah. I didn't even see him played at all. Yeah, it feels like with stuff like Perseus and Bank Error, the design feels like it's supposed to be a slow drip, but that just doesn't work.
Right.
It's definitely bomb or nothing. So right. I don't know what's going to be. Yeah, the future is. We'll see what happens with that. It's a little worrying, but yeah.
So then we already sort of talked about about Michael's deck. The death is only the beginning, which is, you know, having people in torpor, runs the rituals, you know, runs most of the stuff you'd expect. Mortuary to help put your people in torpor. So, you know, yeah, like I said, it was cool to see. To see him, I also didn't get to watch many of his games, but it was cool to see that deck mm-hmm. do well, for sure.
Yeah, and then the winning deck is, you know, it's Hunt, so it does Hunt stuff. It's just a little bit opportunistic, gathering the points as you go. And actually, the top 16 game into the final, the winning play was not his rival, but an off rival had a Marcus with a good amount of agenda on him. I think at least two.
Yeah.
He went after him, knocked out the Marcus. The rival went to 13, but he went to, I think, like 14 or 15.
Huh. Interesting.
And, you know, he's active player, so tiebreakers that way. Yep. So that was the winning play there. It's pretty cool to see. Kind of off the wall plays like that. But that's kind of how I noticed Marcus was a little dangerous. Like if you're playing mm-hmm. him and you don't have Gia out, like he will load himself up with agenda and become a very juicy target for anyone that can take it.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Also interesting to note, this deck has just 40 combat cards.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't bother with any of that other stuff. Just 40 attacks and reactions. That's all I need.
Yeah, who needs actions to do anything but fight?
it was also, I thought, was really interesting because Annika, as the leader, people were like, why Annika? But, like, it really makes a lot of sense when you look at what cards the deck's
good
running.
Stats.
Good stats. She's got, you know, two physical and a social. And she also has the Oblivion because there's three Tenebris in there, which I thought was really interesting as well. You know, she's got the fortitude for a lot of stuff. Like it was just like, yeah, like it makes a lot of sense. She's got Auspex. Like she's got three, I think, really solid icons right now, you know, good stats, six cost. So yeah, just, it was interesting to see that and be like, you know, yeah, that's true. She, like, cause as somebody who has run her for her ability so much lately, it's
funny to see someone who cares about that ability.
Although, I mean, the deck I ran in Milwaukee also used her without caring about her ability at all. So
true. Yes. Yeah. And then, it's in, you know, it has Dragon's Roost, but then it also has Street Preacher. So, you know, two forms of blocking out of the same deck can, you know, you thought Roost was annoying. Well, here's mm-hmm. two out of one player. So that's funny.
It, you know, it definitely seems like a deck that you have to be a good player to play well. Like it's not a deck that you could just hand somebody and they would just be like, yeah, sure, okay. You know, which is funny because I mean you hear good stuff and you think like, oh, well, I could just give that to anybody. And, you know, I don't think this is that kind of deck. I really do think that you need to be a good pilot to get the most out of this deck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Danny is an old Star Wars LCG player, so I was happy to see that. Yep. He had a Star Wars LCG mat at the final table, so I was happy to see that represented. Yes. Yeah, it's cool. You know, hopefully, you know, we'll get him on soon, and he can obviously tell us more about it.
Yeah.
But this definitely just seems like like you said, good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was the main event. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if there was anything story wise coming out of it. I mean, I know they got all the princes together.
Yeah, they had some sort of super secret chat.
You know, yeah, Prince Chad, and they talked about something, which I'm sure we'll see show up at, you know, at some point. I don't remember if there was anything for the winner or not. I don't think.
Yeah, you're right. I don't remember if anything got mentioned. But I mean, they got the sick trophy.
It's true. It is a sick trophy.
And those new deck boxes also, yes, very nice.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, then there was the 1v1 on Saturday, which, mm-hmm, I think had a decent turnout.
Yeah, I think there's somewhere around 16 people.
Yeah, which is pretty good, considering, you know, Saturday is usually a really big day, right?
Yeah, so especially Saturday is the day, like, you know, I don't make cut, I'm gonna go do something else, like some other game. Yeah. I was looking forward to the team event, and that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
The absolutely dominating deck was Infinite Rex. That was the team name. And it makes total sense in the, like, it's not even something I would have thought of, but it makes total sense. So one half of it was Guard Tower, Strength of Numbers, and the other half was Pit and Recruitment Drive.
Yep.
And it frequently had like 8 members out in the streets.
Yep.
So you just get all that agenda from those early recruits, and then you just sit out in the streets and make people come at you. And if they don't, you just get another 2 agenda a turn. And yeah, it was pretty dominant.
Yeah, I can imagine. Guard Tower, you know, everybody blocking. Yeah. It sounds pretty gross.
Yeah, and then speaking from the, like, judge end of it, a lot of the games ended up going to time. So I don't know if anything is going to, like, it was still very much like a, like, here's a beta, you know, quote, beta, yeah, event.
Right, right.
So I'm sure they'll, you know, they'll take the data from that and tweak the rules a little bit.
So, yeah. So it does, because I think there are maybe some people out there looking to have 2v2 tournaments. So yes, maybe up your time limits a little bit if you're going to do that.
Yes. Yeah. I think by the time we got to, like, the final rounds, we were giving, like, maybe 10 extra minutes from whatever it was in the tournament rules. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And it's down to the, like, there's a lot of decision points. There's a lot of, like, obviously talking with your teammate and stuff, right, like that. Yeah, there's another deck that was just, like, burn all the stuff and Diablerize all the stuff. Like, it frequently, like, again, it ran up against time a lot, but, like, I saw a Cossack that had eaten both a smoke and an Alejandro. At first I thought it was a smoke that ate a Alejandro, because all I saw was Alejandro go under a smoke, and I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah. That was Cossack.
So yeah, like, by the time they were done with them, like, the other team's coterie had, like, one, maybe 2 characters left.
That's funny.
So yeah, it was interesting. It was a good time. Yeah, everyone had a good time. Everyone liked it. So I'm sure overall the event, you know, considered a success.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there'll be more side events and stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah. Overall, I think a pretty good Gen Con, pretty good conclave for Rivals.
Yeah, it was fun. It certainly felt like it was longer than just a couple days. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't really know what much else. Like we said, this was going to be kind of just a casual sit back, yes, and just talk about stuff episode.
We did get a preview of the We get our first look at cards from
Dragon and the Rogue. So yeah, we can talk about that real quick. So they had like a little promotional flyer at the booth, and it showed off the alt arts for the leaders. And so we already knew the clans were. You gotta say this with your hands clasped. Samisei and Ravnos.
Yes.
So we have Angela. She's a 6 PP Samisei. 2 physical, 1 mental, animalism, fortitude, and protean. A new keyword, possessive. When entering torpor, you may retain 1 attached card. So that's interesting. And here's what's even more interesting. The first time you attach a card to any card, including ghouls, each turn, draw 1 card. And as I understand it from what I've heard from other people, ghouls are like a hodgepodge of flesh and bone that these people like super glue together or something.
Sure.
That's my, what is it, like drunk history? Yeah, they just put a bunch of people together and
yes,
possess them or something.
Yes. So we know that ghouls are going to be a thing. We don't know anything about them yet, but we know that they're going to be a thing.
They're something that you're going to be able to attach cards to.
Yes. So,
yep. And then we'll have to talk about whatever. So Ravnos, who cares?
Yeah, nobody. I don't think we have anybody that likes Ravnos, right?
No, so not at all.
I'm sure that nobody needs to talk about it. So Ravnos, sorry, I gotta actually pull it up.
Oh, I can do it. It's
fine. Oh, it's here. It's here. I have it. All right. So it is a 4 BP Stefan Cell Tradot.
Yeah.
002 Animalism and Obfuscate. When this character exhausts, you may move 1 blood or prestige from a card you control to another card you control.
Interesting. Seems like tricksy stuff.
Some odd abilities. Not odd, but you know, like different, right? Not just like right. Damage boost.
Yeah, and as I understand how the rules work, and I'd like to think I do. That does not mean you can flip the token when you move it. Like, it comes into play as a certain type of token, and it is that type of token.
Right.
So you can't, like, take blood off someone and put it onto, like, an ongoing that hosts prestige or something like that. At least I hope. We'll see what the rules, like, they come out with that book say, but like, as I understand it right now. It
certainly seems to be you can move prestige to prestige and blood to blood.
Right.
So. We'll see how Ravnos.
There's a lot of applications for that type of ability, like you know, conspiracies, traps, rituals,
moving blood around in your vampires.
Yeah, like you still control your vampires in torpor, so you can super juice someone in torpor to get them out faster. Like, you know, if like a 5 BP gets knocked out and you have a bunch of like 2 or 3s, you can use them. I don't know how. And it's not a separate action. It's like whenever this guy exhausts. So if you're already doing something with him, you get a bonus.
Yep.
So yeah, we'll have to see when the rest of the previews for that start up. But it seems like it's going to be interesting. Sure Angela's art is pretty sweet.
Yes. So yeah, well, I mean, I know, I think that both Matts ended up taking this week off because Gen Con and everything. Hope they're doing okay. But you know, I'm sure that they'll have some sort of wrap up, and then in the next, I think probably I would assume by about the end of the month, we'll probably start getting spoilers.
Yeah, I imagine this week maybe they'll have their own interview with Danny, and then maybe next start up. The previews. So yeah, at least by the end of the month, I agree. Somewhere around there.
Yeah. So cool. So there we go. I don't think we have a whole lot else.
Yeah, short and sweet.
Yeah. Just kind of talking about Gen Con. And how I did not do well enough to win it. So but yeah, it was like, you know, like I said, it was a fun time. It was great seeing everybody. I kinda wish I had stayed and talked to more people. That's my kind of regret, but it was good. Everybody that I saw, I played against, had a good time. So hopefully y'all did too.
Yeah, I had a great time. Like I said, loved meeting all the people that we already kind of knew, and then it's just face to face. And you know, anyone that came up and said, you know, kind words about the podcast and stuff, mm-hmm. that was definitely a humbling feeling.
Yes,
definitely new, definitely a different feeling.
Except
makes you warm and fuzzy.
Except whoever told both of us that we were their favorite. I don't remember his name, but
yeah, we ended up. It was like the Spider-Man meme. It's like, wait a minute.
I knew it. So it's fine. I know that I was his real favorite.
Some of us recognize by our voices. Some of us recognize by our playmats.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So yeah, all in all, Gen Con 22, great success. Very fun. Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully the European folks can get their, you know, their conclave announced and on the books so they can start planning for it, because it's a lot of fun, and hopefully they get to have it and a lot of people can go. It's a good time.
I know that's now been the itching desire to get some details on that, and I hope you guys get that soon, because you know, we want you to have the same good times that we had.
Exactly.
And the great prizes, like I think everyone went away, like even if you, I don't want to say scrubbed out, but even if you just played four rounds and called it a day, you still went away with like a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, so definitely. Definitely.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for tonight. I'll bid everyone good evening.
And congrats to our new Justicar.
There you go. He gets free out this episode.
Yeah.